Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. And we'll look at chapter 8 tonight. We're going to whiz right through this chapter in the next few minutes. And I'm going to point out some very good verses here. This has been one of the best Bible studies I've ever been in, this Ecclesiastes. Because it's man's view under the sun. Look at verse 1. Who is as the wise man? And who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? He's asking us over and over and over. A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. Now, that's a great verse. Literally speaking, Moses, when he come down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, the Bible said his face literally shone. Like reflective paint was in his face. Like we had them signs, I had them signs made in the church, and I had this guy over here at the flea market make me them signs, and I said, I don't want just vinyl on there. I want reflective vinyl, like they make stop signs on the interstate with. And it's the color of that cut. But when your lights hits it, it shines up. I said, that's what I want. And buddy, he made them. They're nice too. I shined my lights on the other night. They just lit up. Now, that's the way the Bible said a man's face was. Literally, Moses. They said literally, his face looked like it had light shining out of it. How many of you have ever, I don't know if we can see this literally in our day and time, but have you ever literally felt like you could just see the Lord on somebody? I have, lots of times. I've had people tell me that. Not too often, but I have had people. I've had people tell me, there's a lady told me one time, she said, Brother Danny, when you was up preaching, it was like there was a glow around you. I don't know if that was her imagination. I don't know what, but I've seen people do that and preaching. Or I always think of Miss Kerr. She's just got a sort of a shine on her face. And she don't even wear makeup. I don't know. Maybe she does. That I know of. I can't tell it. And she's always got a shine on her face. And I believe that you can tell when somebody's been in the presence of the Lord. There's boldness. There's a boldness there that you do not have when you have not been with the Lord. There's a boldness. You're ready to speak the Word of God. Listen, if you know good and well you're backslid, when you go to school, when you go to work, and everything, and you're ashamed to even tell anybody you're a Christian. When you're right with God, there's a boldness on you. You have a boldness. You'll stand up for something. And verse number 2, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard to the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. That's very obvious, self-explanatory. I want to get on into this next verse. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Now, literally speaking, monarchs and kings back in those days had absolute power and authority over everything. Dictators. When a man was king, he wasn't like the president is now. He didn't have legislature and senate and the house and blocking every his decision. If he made a decision, that's it. Tough luck if you didn't like it. And where the word of a king is, there was power. Spiritually speaking, that's talking about your Bible right here. The King James Version. This thing here was translated under the authority of a king. King James. King James did not write the Bible. King James did not translate the Bible. I don't think King James had a part in the translation. He was the king that God had on the throne that gave the order for the Bible to be translated from Greek and Hebrew to English. That's where we get our King James Version. You know how long it took them to do this? 7 years. Started in 1604 and finished in 1611. And there's all kinds of things you can talk about that. It is 400 years of silence from the Old Testament to the New Testament. 400 years. God never said a word. From Malachi to John the Baptist, or 2 Chronicles actually in the Jewish Old Testament, to there was nobody said anything. 400 years silence. And when 400 years came, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, if that's true again, 400 years of silence before the second coming. God hadn't said a word since 1611. God has not said a word since 1611. You say, no, God still talks to people. I know, but He does it in accordance to what's in this book. There's been no further revelation. There's been no extra biblical revelation. God has not let us in on anything new since 1611, and it's 2008 right now. That's exactly 3 years from 400 years when this thing was being done. 400 years of silence. Guess what? John the Baptist is going to come again. Behold, the kingdom of heaven is at hand during the tribulation. That means we're getting ready to get out of here quick. We're getting ready to get out of here quick, people. I preached Sunday morning. When did I preach on the signs? Sunday night. God's time clock. If you didn't get that message Sunday night, you really need it. You really need it. I've done had all kinds of response from the message Sunday night. Brother, we're there. The Jews, the church, the Gentile. If you want to know Bible, updated Bible prophecy, you get the message from Sunday night. Listen, all we going to have to sink our nation and cook our spiritual goose is a president in the White House that don't favor Israel. That's all we're going to have. We're sunk, brother. We're sunk. And it's on that message I preached Sunday night. If you wasn't here, get that tape, CD, whatever they got it on. And I'm telling you, when all, Israel's like here, you got Syria and Jordan, all them little countries around it. Every one of them's got their guns toward Israel. And the only reason they blowed Israel off the map because they're scared of us here in the United States. And if we get a president in our White House who don't believe that we're supposed to support the Jew, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. And there are a lot of people in high offices who don't believe. They don't believe the Bible. They say, why should we support them Jews? We believe, we've always had presidents that believed the Bible. Always. Even if them that wasn't Christians, they were deists, but they still believed in the God of the Bible. We've never had a president in this country that I know of, anybody knows one, tell me, who was an atheist or who was another religion that didn't believe that God was the God of the Bible. Some of them wasn't even necessarily saved, but they believed in the God of the Bible. Does anybody know of one who was an atheist or another religion? I don't. And buddy, we're fixing to get ourselves into a mess. So anyway, where the word of a king is, there's power. Look at verse 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Well, that's a good one too. Over and over and over, advising you to stay right. You're better off by doing right, keeping judgment and time. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Therefore the misery of man is great upon him. Now we could all go into verses about that. Job, all the suffering that he did. Bible examples. Every one of us know examples of people who suffered. Even people that was saved suffered. Fanny Crosby, I mentioned a minute ago, blind. Job, on the ground 7 days and seven nights, lost everything he had. Years and years and years went through suffering. Verse 7, for he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? Nobody. Nobody but the Lord. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. Look at this. Neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Boy, that's a bombshell. B-O-M-B. That's a verse, brother. That one's a bomb, I'm telling you. It says, nobody has power in the day of death to retain the Spirit. That means when God gets ready for you to die, you're going to die. I don't care if you take 10,000 vitamins a week and work out and close yourself in a room with no germs. When God pulls the plug on a man, he's going. We all know stories. Now, I want y'all to be thinking of some illustrations right now, people you know. There's been people put shotguns in their mouth and tried to kill themselves. And their head winds up looking like a watermelon, and they're still alive. And their lips blowed off, and half their jaw's gone, and they turned into a monster and still living. There's been people jumped off buildings trying to kill themselves and hit an awning, or the wind blew them in three or four stories down, or wound up on a car hood or something, and didn't kill them. And then I heard about a man over in Tennessee who pulled a hair out of his nose, and it got infected and went to his brain and killed him in a day or two. One man went out and cussed God, and he was an atheist, and went out and shook his fist up at God and said, strike me with lightning. He blankety blank. If you're there, strike me with lightning. And the Lord just looked at him, didn't say a word, didn't do nothing. Right then, it wouldn't have been good for me to be God, would it you? Boy, if somebody did that to me and I was the Lord, I'd go, fry him right there so everybody could see it. But God ain't as mean as we are. God's merciful. You better be glad He is. He'd have fried me and you if He wasn't. And that guy said, kill me, I dare you. So, see, that ain't no God. And he went over here and started gathering up some wood out of a wood pile, let rain take it in, and a little spider came out there and bit him. Run to his blood bank, killed him. God don't have to waste a good bolt of lightning on an atheist. He can bump him off with a little teensy-weensy spider crawling up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the atheist out. Amen? Hallelujah! Amen? God, I'm telling you, brother, God, He don't need nothing big to bump you off. Amen? Oh, that's coming to my mind now for sure. I'll be singing that all night. Here I am, the pastor of a large, growing downtown church, going around and saying, the itsy bitsy spider. Better than highway to hell, I reckon. But anyway, you can't retain your spirit in the day of death. You're going to kick a bucket one day. I think you ought to try to believe hell. People, now, there's two extremes. Some people say, ain't gonna die if God gets ready for me. No way. So I'm just going to eat fat back and grease and not exercise or nothing. And I don't think that's right. I think you ought to take care of your body. Bodily exercise doeth little. Not much, but little. But then at the same time, you are not supposed to be a fanatic. I know people that don't even buy food unless it's an organic. Listen, buddy, you've got to be rich to eat like that. And you ever notice people that don't eat nothing but vegetables, how puny they look? I mean, I think there's two. You can go to extreme. You can go to extreme. The big thing now is these movie stars want to be a vegetarian. And you know why they want to be a vegetarian? Because man is inherently religious and they want to have something to believe in to make their self feel like they're keeping laws and righteous. And so, like, and they don't want the Bible. So this makes them feel religious. Anybody got a comment on all this stuff? Just raise your hand. Vegetarians? If you want to be a vegetarian, that's fine. I'm not fussing at you. That'll leave more hamburger for us. But I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that ain't going to keep you alive in the day. One fella, he tried to kill himself two or three times. And he never could die. And somebody said, well, why are you going to kill yourself? He said, because I've been a failure at everything I ever tried. You are a flop when you can't even kill yourself. Now, if you're going to kill yourself, for heaven's sake, do it. Why would you want to blow your head half off and live in a setting? I mean, if you're going to do it, brother, I mean, if I'm going to kill myself, I'm going to go down the road 90 miles an hour and stick my head out the sunroof and then head for a bridge. And that way, most of you think it's an accident. Of course, you won't now. But and then my insurance would double. Your insurance would double. If it's an accident, you retard. What's the matter with y'all? If anybody dumb enough to kill yourself, don't think about stuff like that. And it don't hurt your family near as bad if it don't really look. Like, I shouldn't be talking to y'all about stuff like that. If you're going to kill yourself, stick your head out the sunroof. Don't put a gun in your mouth. I mean, how your family has to live with that? You stick your head out the sunroof, brother, you won't live through it. Your head will be down the hickory and your body will be over here on, you know, exit whatever. I don't know how I get off on all that. Oh, yeah. You ain't going to stay alive. If God wanted you to live, you'd live through that. That'd be awful, wouldn't it? Say, boy, why didn't he ever stuck his head out the sunroof and hit a bridge? All right. Nobody has power over to retain the spirit. Anybody got a comment on that? Most people trying to kill themselves don't really want to die. They're wanting attention. Ain't that right? I heard about this guy, true story. He went to the hospital in the emergency room, went right up to the door and put a gun in his stomach and shot himself and fell right in the emergency room. Now, he wasn't wanting to die. He was trying to get his wife back. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get his wife back. She'd left him, and I doubt it. Who'd want somebody to do something like that? You're not making yourself attractive by doing something like that. Nobody want to live with you then. All right. Anybody got a comment on that? You don't have power over the spirit in the day of death. Is that true? Cut his own throat. Whew. So what now? I mean, that's pitiful. We shouldn't laugh about somebody like that, but I don't know how you could cut your own throat. Man up there in Old Fort somewhere cut his own head off with a chainsaw. Sure did. That ain't been long ago. Buddy, I think some easier way to do it than that. You put a chainsaw on, tape it where it's running, and then lay your head down on it. And he lived. Oh, brother. He's got to try to kill himself, set his own house on fire, put a gun in his mouth, and live through it. And then you can go out here, you can go out here honestly and slip on something and hit your head like it just the wrong way and kill you. There's no discharge in that war. You don't have power over the spirit to retain it in the day of death. God's got a time that you're going to go, and every doctor on planet Earth can't keep you here. And until He does, you can't get killed. Amen? That's some verse, brother. That's powerful. Neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. That's a great verse. I always look at that. I think it has two meanings. This is probably not the main meaning. In the war that me and you are in, there's no discharge. You don't get discharged in the army of God. When you become one of the soldiers in God's army, you're in till death. That's why I don't think, don't get mad at me, I'm not their age. I might do it if I was them. I don't think a preacher ought to retire. I don't think he might always pastor, but I don't think you should ever retire from preaching. Preaching is something you do till you die if you're able. Some's not able. But if you're able, you ought to do it till you die. There's no discharge in that war. And you don't get out for you know, whatever they let you out for. What do they discharge you in the army for? Mental problems? You don't get out of this war for that. Yeah, sickness? You don't get out. There's no discharge in this war. Then it's talking about death here. You ain't going to get out of it. Everybody listening? You're not going to get out of dying. You're going to die. You're going to die. Everybody hear me? We're going to. I mean, it's going. There's only one thing that keeps going to keep any of us from dying, and that would be Jesus coming. That's it. That's it. Other than that, you're going, brother. You might as well start getting ready because you're going to die. Just as sure as this day, May 21st, came, the day's going to come that you're going to die and I'm going to die. That day's coming. That's something to think about, people. I preached a funeral at Marion one time, long time ago. I must have been 23, 4, 5, 25 years old. You know, when you're 25, you don't think you're going to die. You say, we're all going to die, but you don't believe it. I still don't believe it half the time. But I was going in Marion, driving up in that funeral, down there where the Bantam Chef is in Marion, that funeral, that graveyard up across the hill up there. And I was going up through there, and there was that big old pile of red, fresh dirt. And I was driving up there, and it felt like God spoke to me and said, they're going to be putting you in one of them holes one day. And boy, it just hit me. That's going to happen. Y'all are going to lay my body out here over at the new church or somewhere sometime. If Jesus don't come, it's going to happen. There's no discharge in that war. And old Bob Jones Sr. said, they said one time he's walking down the road, and he had a profound thought struck. Get this. He said, one day it hit me. He said, I got to live forever somewhere. I guess I ought to start learning how to live. One more time. I got to live forever somewhere. I guess I ought to start learning how to live. There's no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Verse 9, all this have I seen. All this have I seen, and applied my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man ruleth over another to his own hurt. It ain't always a good thing to be the big shot, be the ruler. Sometimes you're worse off. And so I saw the wicked buried. Listen to this. Who had come and gone from the place of the holy, And they were forgotten in the city whereon where they had so done. This is also vanity. Now what do y'all think about that verse? Somebody give me some insight on that verse. I saw the wicked buried. I saw all these wicked people. I saw them lay them in the ground who had come and gone from the place of the holy. You reckon that meant they went to church? You reckon that meant they was religious? And there they was being buried. It didn't do them a bit of good. I don't know. Somebody tell me. That's what I always thought. Every time I've ever read that verse, I thought, here these people went to church every Sunday and they got buried and it didn't do them a bit of good. Their heart wasn't right. They were just religious. Pharisees, Sadducees. Anybody got a comment? Got a comment? Who is these people that had come and gone from the place of the holy? Anybody? Nobody? They had come and gone from the place of the holy. Somebody give me a Bible example of that. Judas, you know, he went to church regular. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they all went to church regular. Evidently, they went to the temple. And this, the wise man said, I saw them get buried. I saw them. You see a lot of people like that. You hear about old so-and-so. Everybody in town knows he's a crook, liar, drunk, thief, everything. And one day you read in the paper, he died. And there's no discharge in that war. And I saw him come from the place of the holy. Anybody? Yeah, that's a good one. Boy, that's a good one. We better be glad the Lord don't do like that, don't we? People say Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. They better hope and pray He don't always do like He did. He killed them for lying about their tithes, keeping back part of that money. If the Lord killed everybody in Burke County who made the impression they was giving their money when they wasn't giving their money, there'd be 50,000 dead people in this county next Sunday morning. Alright, let's move on here. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy. Verse 11. This is another bomb. B-O-M-B. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well. It is well. It is well. Well, my soul. With them that fear God, which fear before Him. That means, look at verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not God. Now, that means that no matter how it looks, no matter how much these sinners look like they're getting away with stuff, surely it'll be well with a man that fears God. In the long run, when it's all said and done, you'll come out on top. If you'll fear God and do right. Now, verse number 11 is a scary verse. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the sons of men, their hearts fully set in them to do evil. Now, what that means is, you go out one Friday night and party, and you, quote, get away with it. And you go out there and party the next night, Friday night, and get away with it. And you say, them preachers been preaching, God will get you if you do this. Nothing ain't happened to me. They say, But just because it don't happen speedily, the heart is set on doing evil. Just because God don't knock your head off 5 minutes after you get through sinning, don't mean He wasn't looking. And that don't mean He ain't going to get you when the time comes. I can't remember exactly some of the old preachers used to say, the wheels of God's judgment grind exceeding slow, but they grind exceeding fine. And that means God ain't in no hurry. He ain't in no hurry to get. He'll let a nation go on for years and years and years and years. Nineveh and some of them countries, their destruction had long and often been foretold. And they had all, prophets had been raised up. God's going to destroy you. God's going to destroy you. God's going to destroy you. You know what people thought? He didn't do it last year. He didn't do it 100 years ago. They're as bad as we are. Ain't no big deal. But one day, finally, God says, it's enough. Man, I thought about that song today. It was such a lovely day. You know, the sun was shining bright. Gentle breezes were blowing my way. And then suddenly, without warning, that's how fast everything can change. Your whole life can change just like that. Did you know something tonight? You can lose everything you've got in less than 10 minutes. You really can. You can lose everything you've got. You can have a car wreck tonight on your way home. That'll change your life forever. Just because you think God ain't
ain't paying attention don't mean nothing, people. You're better off to fear God. And if you do something wrong, ask Him to forgive you. Keep your sins confessed. Keep confessed up. You know me. My middle name is Merciful, brother, because God's been merciful to me. Somebody told me today, they're not here tonight, but somebody told me today, they said, Brother Danny, we know that we can bring people to our church that's been down a rough road because y'all have mercy on them. That's a compliment for our church. You know what some independent Baptists say? Ah, you bless God, you're a bunch of compromisers, let anything go on. Somebody says that's just wicked and pharisaical and self-righteous. We don't approve of sin. I don't, and nobody here in their right mind does. But we believe in having mercy on sinners. I even heard somebody say, I can't believe Brother Danny had let them do something in church after what I heard about them. Well, first thing about it, if you just heard something, you don't even know it's true. Ain't none of your business, no way. The second thing, let me tell you something about Brother Danny, and all these people who know me for years know this. If I've always said this, never changed my mind or my preaching one bit. If you're living in sin, quote, present tense, practicing, deliberate, not even trying to get right, sin. You have no business singing in the choir. You have no business preaching. You have no business teaching Sunday school. But I don't care if you shot the president last week and you got your heart right and you're washed in the blood. You got as much right to get up and do something for God as anybody else. I've always preached that. I've always tried to practice that. If you come to this altar and get your heart right, I don't care what you've done in your past. It's over and done, forgotten, and I'm wicked if I bring it up. Say amen right there. That's what we believe here at our church. Now, because of that, we get accused of being a compromiser. Well, he'll just let anybody get up there and do it. Anybody who's trying to live right, I will. You got a problem with that? Then you're a self-righteous Pharisee. Say amen right there. Well, I heard it. Yeah, I know. I have too. I've heard it too. So what? So what? If somebody's, quote, living present tense in sin, then okay. We'll deal with it. But if their heart's right, and they're fighting it, and they're trying to do right, I ain't got no problem with them. I ain't got no problem with them. Somebody got a drinking problem? Some of you say, well, bless God, they've never been saved because I don't have no desire to drink. You can't say that. Can't say that. You can't say that because somebody's got a temptation that you ain't got, that they're not a Christian. You know, they probably ain't got the one you got. You lust for things and stuff and covet and have pride and jealousy and gossip, and you don't quit. You don't quit. And some of them are trying to quit. They're doing better than you are. You don't even try to quit. Amen. I don't mean to start preaching there, but though a sinner do evil 100 days, yet it shall be well with them who fear God. The bottom line, people, is you're a whole lot better off live right. You're a whole lot better off. You're a whole lot better off do the right thing. You'll come out better down the road somewhere if you'll do the right thing. And if you do the wrong thing, get up, get it under the blood, and go on for the glory of God. All right. Verse 14. Good night. The time's done gone. Let's just read the rest of this. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, and there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said this is vanity. He said, I don't understand this. Here's a man trying to do right, and he gets punished. And here's somebody living like the devil, like George Burns, people like him, live to be 100 years old, a millionaire, and nothing bad ever happens to him. You know why he can't understand that? Because he don't have eternity in mind. If there wasn't no heaven and hell and eternity and judgment, life wouldn't be fair and life wouldn't make sense. But God's going to settle an up day. And that's what makes it make all it makes sense. Verse 15, then I commended mirth. Because a man, here we go, here's where the old saying comes that millions of people say and nobody knows where it comes from. A man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat, drink, and be merry. There it is. Now we've added, for tomorrow we die. That comes from other verses. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And if there's no heaven, no eternity, no hell, only under the sun, that is a true doctrinal statement. And there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking and being merry. Nothing. And enjoy life, for that will abide him of his labor for the days of his life, which God hath given him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night, seeth sleep with his eyes. He said, I've tried to figure it out. I can't figure it out. I don't understand why a man can try to do right and have problems and another try to do wrong. Everything work out good for him. Verse 17, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. You can't find it apart from eternity, heaven, hell, and the judgment. Any questions? All right, we'll stop right there. We'll move into chapter 9.